Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm going to jump right into the message this morning. It's going to sound a lot like last week's message because I believe I started out and then varied, okay? But we're going to be talking about making a decision that has to be made every day. Do you know what I mean? Like in the morning, you decide whether or not you're going to be a good boy or a good girl. Are you with me? Okay? This is a decision that you have to make every day. It isn't an easy decision, but it's a necessary decision that requires a whole lot of discipline. And so the title of the message this morning is simply this: A Difficult Daily Discipline, all right? This week, I have only one question to get started, okay? And that is this. I want you to think for a moment if there are areas in your life, and I think we got this far last week, where you are reaping a harvest from seeds that you wish that you had never sown. Yeah. Amen? You're reaping a harvest from seeds that you wish you had never sown. So let's get started and stand together, and we will repeat our Bible declaration, and we will get moving here. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
All right. Can anybody say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now, can any of you say praise the Lord like he's walking down the aisle right now? Oh, come on now. What would you say? What would you do? Wouldn't you jump, clap, shout, say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, I just wondered. All right. All right. Take your Bibles with me and hold them up in the air and say this. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same.
I believe it.
I receive it. In Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. Amen. Gary Timmer, have you sat down now? I wonder if you'd come up and pray for the message, please.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence in this place today. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that as Pastor Wes speaks it forth today, God, that our lives will be changed.
Hallelujah.
Father, there is no doubt in my mind that there's not a person in this place that couldn't use a little bit of change. Father, we all will until either Jesus comes back or we join you in heaven. Father, as you speak your word today, I pray that it would just reach out to us, God, and grab a hold of us, Lord. Father, that we couldn't pitchfork it, Lord, that we couldn't push it aside.
That's right.
Father, I pray that we would just take it in. Father, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. How many of you came here this morning expecting change? How many came here this morning hoping for change? There's a great degree of yielding that you have to do to enable change to happen in your life. You have to humble yourself. You have to say to the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm ready to change. You know what doesn't work? It doesn't work to say, God, would you change my wife? Not that I meant that. But it does work to say, God, will you change me? God, I want to change. I want to be different. If you can't get along with your husband, then you should change yourself, not hope that he will change. Somebody needed to hear that, but... Have you ever noticed in your everyday life that there are people, believers, that seem to walk in this realm of victory that you only dream about? Come on. And it seems like these overly blessed people, if you will, are much more adept and much more able to stay positive in negative situations, and where a smile on their face makes you sick, you know? And where a smile on their face while they are going through the terrible tests of life. Because I don't know about you, but very often when I face tests, it doesn't always bring the best out in me. Amen? Come on, are you with me this morning? Serena and I have been talking a lot, I guess because of the new year and making resolutions and that type of thing, about the words that come out of our mouth and how it seems to be a lot more natural. No, please hear me. It seems to be a lot more natural to be negative about things. Come on. To be negative about things in life and people in life than it is to be positive about things and people. It's so easy to see somebody else's fault, isn't it? It's so easy to see everything that's wrong with the situation. It's not so easy to see the good things in people. And it's not so easy to see the good things in whatever's going on in your life. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? Okay, there's about one third. You might as well be honest, okay? Because God knows anyway, all right? So how many of you know what I'm talking about now? Yeah, amen, amen. And I wonder, I mean, could it be that these two things are connected somehow? That is, the words of our mouth and walking in a realm of victory. And do we really create the atmosphere and do we create the attitude that we live with by the words that come out of our mouth? Just pondering, just thinking about that, which I really like to do because, you know, when you ponder the principles and the promises of God, it's then that you get revelation. Amen. And I like that. I really do. Can you say amen? Amen? If you haven't picked up this fact yet, then you haven't been here very long, but I have a tremendous love for the Word of God. Amen? It's important. You got to understand, it is important. Well, I haven't had time to read the Bible all week. No, it's important. I bet you ate this week. I bet you got mad this week. Okay. The Word of God is important. It's packed full of precepts and promises and these proven principles. For instance, there's a principle of God that says this: God is good, and all the time,
God is good.
To who?
To me.
To me. I would hope so. And there's also a principle of knowing that evil never, say never, never comes from God. Let me prove that to you biblically right now, okay? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Wretch, you really can't blame that on anybody else. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. In other words, don't think it's different than what it says right here, okay? Every good and perfect gift, every what? Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. It's these kinds of principles that really should set our priorities and direct not only our praise life, but our prayer lives as well. And I've noticed something about the principles of God and even the promises of God. And that's this. There are some that are more difficult to live by than others. Okay? In fact, some principles that are put forth in the Word of God are so diametrically opposed to our flesh that we find ourselves struggling to live by them. We might know them, we might even be able to quote them, but we can't live by them because we just can't seem to do it because our flesh is too strong. Let me stop here just a minute, okay, and tell you something about the promises of God, and just stay with me here. Some of God's promises are given. They're just a given because you're a believer, right? Other promises are available to you because you're a believer. There are also promises that are positive as well as negative. Now, what do I mean? promises to promote positive things, there's those, and there's promises that will produce negative things. Amen? Promises that bring wonder into your life, and there are promises that bring a warning into your life. Now, are you with me? Are you with me? I hope so. I hope so, because I just lost my sermon. There's back. Please turn with me to Galatians 6, and we're going to read verses 7 through 9. You guys are awfully quiet today. Why is that? I know you can't answer me. I know. You're listening. Yeah. Okay, that's a good. Okay. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Are you there? Okay. The Bible says, do not be deceived. All right? Whenever a scripture starts out, do not be deceived, you need to pay attention, okay? Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then verse 9 says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, say in due season, in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Verse 7 again says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Paul is saying that if obeyed, this principle will bring life. But when it's ignored, it brings strife. Amen? All right. He is very forceful when he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. It's not, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. It's, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. All right? In other words, don't deceive yourself. I think that's probably one of the most sad things that's said in the scripture is that we can deceive ourselves. I mean, deception is so powerful that we can even deceive ourselves. In other words, don't deceive yourself, and don't let the devil deceive you. Amen. The word deceived in the scripture comes from the Greek word planeo, okay, which means to lead astray or to wander. So what the Holy Spirit is saying to us here is this, don't be led astray or don't wander from the truth, don't stagger or be led off course, and don't let someone else's belief lead you in the wrong direction. Let this be your rule, okay? I don't care if the person you're talking to is Joe Spiritual. If it can't be backed up in here, and if it doesn't come from here, then he might be leading you or she might be leading you in the wrong direction. If my wife would have taken the counsel of a very godly woman, we'd be divorced right now. Okay? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. This word, planeo, is normally used in the New Testament to portray the teachings of a false teacher, okay, who deliberately leads people from a life of liberty to a life of bondage. And because Paul spoke so strongly against it, it could be correctly translated just like this. Stop being deceived. Stop. What's the matter with you? And for him to say stop, that means you're already doing it, doesn't it? So he's saying stop being deceived. In other words, you've been deceived in the past. Don't be deceived in the future. And I find this so interesting because it shows us just how natural it is to be negative with our words. Because in context, that is exactly what he's speaking to. Moving on to verse 7 is the word mocked, okay? It's a Greek word that means to turn up one's nose at someone, as in someone who is laughing at another person. In context, the idea of mocking here is this. Come on. Come on. You really don't believe in that ridiculous principle in God's word of sowing and reaping, do you? Do you really believe that God will produce from the words you plant? Do you really believe that? One biblical scholar said that this type of mocking attitude usually comes from a person who had a bad experience when they tried to apply the law of sowing and reaping into their life. And for some reason, they didn't get the results that they expected, so now they're convinced that, you know, this principle just doesn't work, man. This sowing and reaping is a bunch of baloney. And Paul doesn't want this negative behavior of unbelief to continue. So he speaks loudly and he speaks firmly and prohibitively, actually commanding the Galatian believers to disassociate themselves with anyone who dares to turn up their nose or mock this principle. Then he boldly states the principle. Whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. Whatever a man sows, whatever a woman sows, that word is the Greek word anthropos, that means mankind, okay? Whatever mankind sows, that he shall also reap. The word sow is the word spiro, and it refers to any, say any. It refers to any seed that is sown. And what this tells us is that the law is applicable to anything in our lives, okay? It applies when sowing the seeds of love. That means that we're going to reap love. Or sowing the seeds of time. That means when you put a lot of time into doing or serving somebody else, God's going to add that back to you, okay? You know, and of patience or of kindness, you're going to reap the same thing. Even seeds of forgiveness. If you want forgiveness, you've got to forgive. Amen? Okay. It's the same with seeds of bitterness or seeds of selfishness. And bless God, seeds of giving. Okay? It's simply a fact that whatever seed you sow, it will undoubtedly grow. Amen? Because it can be what? Anything that you say. Absolutely anything that you say. Say it with me, will you? God's word says, God's word says, I will reap what I sow. But it's possible, okay, that there's a portion of this principle that we don't know, that we don't realize. Listen to this. The Greek tense that's used in this verse doesn't denote a single or a one-time sowing, okay? The Greek tense here that's used pictures a person who continually and habitually sows the same seed. So it could be translated like this. Whatever a person sows, and keeps on habitually sowing and sowing, that they will also reap, and habitually reap. All right? In other words, it describes a constant, steady, perpetual sowing of a seed. It isn't a one-time thing. It doesn't work that way. In other words, you can't expect to sow a seed one time. A farmer doesn't sow one seed, now does he? He sows a bunch of seeds, okay? But you can't expect to sow a seed one time and be done. It takes a lifestyle of saying what you want to sow, okay? The word for reap is in the same Greek tense. And the reason most people walk away disgusted in disbelief and finding themselves questioning this promise is that they sowed once, or maybe they even sowed twice, okay? And they waited for a harvest, and then nothing happened. So they stopped sowing. Let me tell you something. Tithing is a lot like that. Hey, I tried that. Now, there's a difference between someone who's a tither and someone who has tithe. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you tithe once and you wonder, well, how I'm not getting any money back. What's going on? What I mean, that person's blessed. It doesn't work for me. Obviously, it doesn't work for everybody. You got to be some certain kind of person to have this work. I mean, you know, and maybe one time in your life you forgave somebody, so you can't figure out why you can't get forgiveness from a person when you've sowed it. But the difference is, you can't have sowed, you have to be sowing. Amen? And it's the same with tithing. It's the same with whatever it is. You have to be doing it as a lifestyle. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But what happens with most people is they give up before the seed could ever come up. All right? Not completely understanding the principle. And this is so important, okay? Those who keep on keeping on, all right? Sowing and sowing and sowing, again, as a lifestyle, are the ones who eventually end up being the ones who reap.
Amen?
Amen? Please understand something here this morning. And this, just hear me. Also, the level at which you sow determines the level at which you will reap. Boy, that sounds an awful lot like positive confession and you just want money. I'm not just talking about money, people. The Bible says it in 2 Corinthians 9:6. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's pretty clear. Amen? That's pretty clear. So you sow a little and you're going to reap a little. You sow a lot and you're going to reap a lot. So inconsistently, and you will reap if you reap inconsistently. So regularly, and you will reap regularly. Galatians 6, verse 7 could be translated like this. Stop letting people lead you away from the truth. You might try to turn up your nose at the law of God, but it won't change the law. It remains true that whatever you regularly, I can't say that word right, whatever you regularly and habitually sow, regardless of what it is, that is exactly what you will regularly regularly and habitually reap. What is it? It's a daily discipline. I mean, have you ever had just one of those days and you blame it on, I'm just grumpy today, where you can't say anything good about anybody? And, oh, you're just so smart. You know, you think of these wonderful things to say. You know, things like, you know that guy? The porch light's on, but nobody's home. You know the other guy? Well, he was cut out right, but sewed up wrong. But it's a daily discipline. It's a difficult discipline. Because, again, it seems like negative responses are what comes to mind right away. It's easier to make that kind of response. It for some reason, it bolsters the person that's in the flesh when they make those kind of responses. But it's a daily discipline. You know, it's a daily, difficult discipline. But there's one more thing that I want to add to this. In Galatians 6, verse 9, he says this, Paul says this. He takes a moment to encourage those of us who are holding out for our harvest, and he says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good. I don't care if you tithe for 4 years and nothing has happened, keep tithing. I don't care if you've sown forgiveness and love and good things, keep on doing it. Amen? Don't grow weary in well doing. Why? For in due season, at the right time, okay, when God sees fit, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. How many of you know what it's like to lose heart?
Yeah.
Amen? Lose heart on something that you're just expecting, but you're not seeing it. But notice that Paul mentions this due season. Say due season. Harvest times come at different times of the year in different places on the earth. Okay? And it all depends on the temperature and the climate of the region that you're talking about. It takes time for seeds to grow in the natural realm. Amen? Are you with me? And it takes time for seeds to grow in the spiritual realm. Remember that the seed you sow will take a while to grow. Okay? Maybe you can remember it that way. The seed you sow may take a while to grow. Okay? And Paul says in the meantime, in the waiting time, in that yucky time when you're waiting for something to happen, you're expecting it to happen, but it isn't happening yet. But in that time, and I'm sure that everybody here has gone through those times. Okay? And Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing. When a man reaps what he sows, okay? When you're sowing good things, don't get tired of it. Don't get tired of it. You know, don't be the one who gets tired of being disciplined with their mouth. And I'm going to tell you something. It takes a daily discipline. I mean, don't make me feel like I'm the only one, okay? Sometimes Gary will say to me, "What do you say?" And I'll say, "Never mind." Never mind. Or Serena will say, "What?" And I'll say, "Nah, I don't think I should probably say that. Never mind. I know. I'm the only one. I know." And finally, Paul says this. The last thing that we should do is faint. Right? The last thing we should do is faint. If you constantly and habitually sow love, you will constantly and habitually reap love, okay? If you constantly and habitually sow patience, you will constantly and habitually reap patience. How many of you need patience? No. I don't mean you need to be patient. You need other people to be patient with you. Amen? Amen. And it goes on. If you sow kindness, you'll reap kindness. If you sow forgiveness, you'll reap forgiveness. If you sow finances, you'll reap finances. I know, you're thinking, boy, I was doing good until then. But I'm sorry, it's the truth. And if you think further into it, this is also true. If you sow bitterness, guess what you're going to reap? Bitterness. And if you sow unforgiveness, guess what you're going to get in return? Unforgiveness. If you sow strife, you're going to reap strife. Simply put, if you want a principle to live by, sow good things and receive good things. Sow bad things, receive bad things. As a daily discipline, you know, I think that you and I need to decide to sow what we want to reap, okay? Because it's a very strong principle in the Word of God, and no matter what, it's not going to change because you will reap what you sow. Amen? I know it hasn't been a long sermon. I realize that. But what I want you to realize is how important this is. It's important not only for other people, but it's important for you. It's important that you don't live your life with just this negative aspect about you, because the person that hurts isn't the one you're talking about. Guess who it is? It's you. Have you ever felt really uplifted after taking someone down? No. You know why? Because you just sowed bitterness and strife, and you know what you're going to reap? Bitterness and strife. And I think it's so important that we understand that these simple things and these things that we read, you know, on a yearly basis, maybe bi-yearly or whatever it might be, instead of just, you know, just streaming over the top of them. Oh, yeah, I'm going to reap what I sow. Yeah, think about it. And determine in your own mind, because you're the only one that really knows, because you're the one that has all your conversations. Did you know that? Are you negative or are you positive? Sometimes Serena, in error, says to me, "How come you're so negative?" But it's good to have that reminder. It's good to have the reminder. Why am I so negative? There's not a good reason. There's never a good reason. Well, everything has gone wrong today, so what? Why are you so negative? Everybody's been really mean to me today. That's no reason. If you want to reap kindness, you got to sow kindness. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. Why don't you stand with me? And we're going to make a declaration today. And I want you to listen to what you're saying. And, you know, I realize, because there's sometimes when I go, "What did I preach on Sunday?" that you don't always remember what I preached on Sunday because I have trouble myself. But would to God that you would try to put this principle into action. that the stuff that came out of your mouth, try it for a day. Just see the difference that it makes. Try it for a week, you know? Then next week you'll be able to say, I know what you preached on last week. And I'll say, what? No. All right. Pastors have this weird expectation of other people, the people in their church. And that is that they will do all the things that they say, and that they'll practice all the things that is taught, and that they will put into, you know, just into a daily discipline the principles that they teach. I pray that for you, and I pray that especially this part, especially this one, that you would begin to understand how much it affects your life when you sow negative seeds, and that you would change. Well, I've tried and I can't. Well, then you need to pray about it and say, God, change me. Because I don't know of a single time that I've prayed to the Lord, God, change me. And you know what he does? He changes me. Maybe not in the way I planned on him changing me, but he changes me. Anyway, say this after me, please. Say it like you mean it. I declare, whatever I sow, sow. And keep on sowing. That will I also reap, and habitually reap. Do you want me to do what it says up there now? I declare, whatever I sow, sow, and keep on habitually sowing. That will I also reap, and habitually keep on reaping. I declare, when I sow good things, I reap good things. When I sow bad things, I reap bad things. I declare, I will daily discipline myself by watching the words that come out of my mouth. Now I want you to say this one really loud, okay? I declare, I will not grow weary in my well-doing. And I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap this morning?